Welcome to episode 42 of Autograph Weekly, Grandfather Schaefer.
You're now tuned into the most entertaining, informative, and downright kick-ass autograph show that has ever existed. Here's Zane Savage and Double S with Autograph Weekly.
Welcome, Autograph Addicts. I'm Zane Savage.
I'm Stacey Schaefer.
I'm Jeremy Daniels.
I'm Dave Stotler.
I'm Ben Martinez.
And you're listening to Autograph Weekly, feeding your brain with knowledge and news every week until the royal family can keep their clothes on. Guys, we record a thing called AW Extra. It's a Google Hangout, and you can find that at youtube.com/autographweekly. We do that before the show. It's a pre-show. We talk about what we got in this week, and also talk with you guys, the listeners of Autograph Weekly. You can actually be a part of the Google Hangout. It's a chance for us to connect with you guys. We do have a new segment, a new poll, if you will, for you guys this week. Next week, as you know, is our one-year anniversary, a very big show. And for our next year, we want to add a new segment to the show, and that will be up to you guys. So here's what you need to do. You need to email us at autographweekly@gmail.com or post on our Facebook page, facebook.com/autographweekly, and give us ideas for a new segment. So we're going to take all these ideas that you guys send in the next week, pick the four best ones, and put up a poll next week after the one-year anniversary. From then on out, whichever one's picked number one will be our new segment for the new year. So again, guys, that's autographweekly@gmail.com and facebook.com/autographweekly. Get your ideas for new segments in, and we'll put those up in a poll next week. All right, let's go ahead and move on to the news. Jeremy, what you got?
All right, this article is kind of disturbing. This takes place in St. Lucie, Florida. 18-year-old Tyler Hanley basically writing autographs from jail. Tyler Hanley is 18 years old, and he allegedly killed his parents, Mary Jo Hadley, 47, and Blake Hadley, 54, using or bludgeoning them with a 22-ounce framing hammer. Well, I guess while in jail, his, I don't know what you want to call it, a roommate or whatever in jail, basically asked him for an autograph, thinking that they were going to make a movie or something after him for what he did. And Tyler Hadley wrote to his roommate. I don't know what you call them, roommates or inmates, whatever. But he wrote, "I don't know if you're a fan, but you should be. It's hammer time." And apparently he signed this on a picture of a hammer, which he used to kill his parents. So it's kind of disturbing. And they, they took the picture and validated his handwriting and stuff and tried to use it in court, whatever. But I guess he got upheld, whatever. But, yeah, it's just, it's a disturbing story.
Yeah, it's pretty pretty much a downer to start on. But, wow, that's insane. Well, let's go ahead and move on. We just wanted to get that story out there. I don't think there's much to discuss. Pretty sad story, so... My news story is a really cool news story about presidents. There's a guy, his name is Tom Cooney. If you ever just doubted your ability to accomplish something, just spend a few minutes with Tom Cooney, who is 77, and you'll be inspired. Cooney, who lived for more than 30 years in the Palm Harbor area before moving to Clearwater, has been deaf since he was an infant, but his disability has not stopped him from making his dreams become a reality. Cooney has performed the national anthem in sign language at the Super Bowl, and he's met several presidents. He's been the recipient of the National 1,000 Points of Life of Light Award and Florida's Points of Light Award for his service to the community. And along the way, he's volunteered his time to help more than 1 million kids learn sign language. Cooney also owns a baseball that his family members hope might someday find its way into the Smithsonian Institution. He's managed to convince 10 presidents to sign it, and hopes President Barack Obama's signature becomes the next. So he has 10 presidents' signatures on this baseball, from Hoover all the way to Bush, George W. Bush. So that's insane. It's Lyndon Johnson, I believe. I'm not sure if Kennedy is on there, but ridiculous amount of presidential autographs on one ball, and I don't think there's any signed presidential ball like that in the world that I know of. It doesn't have a list of all the presidents, surprisingly, in the article, but he does not have Barack Obama on there, which will be the 11th president to sign it. So, very, very cool article and a very cool lifetime project. You want to talk about projects? Now, that's a project and a hard one, because presidents are pretty hard to get. Anyway.
Yeah, could you just imagine what kind of value that thing's going to have?
Yeah, I guarantee you he's not sending that thing out TTM.
Yeah, no doubt.
So, that was a great story. I love that story. Somebody who was really dedicated to a project and has really come up with a piece of history in their hands. And like they said, they want to donate it to the Smithsonian effort.
Looking at the pictures here, the signatures look pretty crisp on there. It's not like they're faded or anything.
I know. Yeah. They all look pretty... in really good condition. Like, even the Hoover is in good condition. So we'll actually post a picture, post the article on our website, autographweekly.com, so you guys can actually see a photo of the baseball. Surprisingly, they only have a picture of it from one side, which is kind of disappointing. But they have several news articles that have been written about him. Local news articles about him meeting presidents and stuff. So, very, very cool guy. And shout out to him for one of the best projects I've ever heard of, easily.
Tricky Dick's on there.
Tricky Dick is on there. I mean, I think from Hoover to Bush, I think that's pretty much every president in between there. I'm not sure if Kennedy would be on there. But anyways, let's go ahead and move on. Stacey?
All right, my news story. I picked this one. It kind of fits some stuff that's going on in the TTM community. Some of these collectors are actually starting to send out index cards and stuff to have people actually do sketches on the stuff they get back in. And this is an actual article from – this was took place at PAX Prime. And it's this guy named Michael Ventar, who actually went to, like I said, PAX Prime in 2012, just this – I think it was pretty within the last like month or so. And he bought this big sketchbook to get signatures in it. And he's like, then he started to think. And he's like, thinking usually gets me in trouble. PAX is a game developers conference, if you guys don't know what PAX is. But he's like, are these signatures from these game developers really going to be all that unique and something that's actually ever worth something? He's like, probably not. So I'm going to go there this year and get everybody to draw me a sketch of a dragon. And that's exactly what he did. This article shows, looks like there's shows four of them that he got. He got one from Tim Schafer from Double Fine, Marcus Persson from Mojang, and there was a couple others. John Romero from Loot Drop, and show another one, but they don't say who it's from. But I just thought it was pretty interesting because you're starting to see some of this in the TTM community now, where along with the autograph request, people are sending index cards and some other stuff to try to get the people to do a sketch or a little doodle for him.
Yeah, Chris Vinoy was the first one I saw do this on YouTube, and I think Stacy's going to pick up this idea. So all props go to Chris. It's a great, great autograph to have if somebody draws a sketch along with it. Very unique, and you guys know how I love unique signatures on weird items and stuff like that, and a sketch is definitely up there. So
yeah, and it's showing all these photos, the guys who actually drew the photos signed them too, so he got the signatures along with the photo of a dragon.
Yeah, it's a very cool idea, and well, people don't understand. Like, people that aren't artists don't understand why you wanted them to do a sketch. So sometimes it's hard to convince somebody, hey, I want your autograph. I know you're an actor or actress, but I want a sketch from you. They're like, why? You know? And that comes down to autograph people and non-autograph people, which we've talked about a lot before, but yeah, it's definitely a unique piece to get a sketch from somebody, and go for it.
Wait for someone to send a stick person back.
Yeah, well, I think Chris has actually got some stick people back. So,
yeah, he's got some really cool stuff back, and actually his brother just got Allison Brie did a sketch for him that was pretty funny.
All right, Ben.
All right, so my article this week is about an autograph signing by NASCAR driver Tony Stewart. Just goes on to say pretty much everything about the autograph session. Just some highlights that he basically has crazy fans. There's even a cat, Tony Stewart. Like, this person brought their cat and it's named Tony Stewart and got it to sign meow meow and then with a little paw on a picture of the cat and Tony.
Wow.
And the whole vibe of it was that it was keep moving. But he was still polite and accommodating because there was about 10 seconds a person just with the time he had and how many autograph wristbands Oh, he could also spot dealers too, which was actually really cool to see, I guess, that like being him, he could spot dealers, I guess.
Yeah, but you know, the thing is sometimes, you know, the older folks who are actually autograph collectors get lumped in with the dealers. Like, he may think he's spotting dealers, but he's actually spotting autograph collectors that, just older autograph collectors that he would think are dealers. So whenever a celebrity says, I know a dealer when I see one, they're mostly right, probably, but there are a few innocents that get, you know, thrown into that mix. We always ask whenever we interview a celeb, what's the weirdest item you've signed, and that's why. I mean, freaking a picture of a cat named Tony Stewart's pretty crazy, and there's usually pretty good stories behind that. So, really,
well, didn't they actually bring the cat to the signing?
Yeah,
I thought the photo I saw had the actual cat with the Tony Stewart shirt.
Yeah, the cat signed it, apparently.
So the cat, well, was it a picture of the cat or a picture of Tony Stewart?
The cat with Tony Stewart.
That's what, yeah, that's what I was saying. The picture of the cat. So, picture of the cat and Tony Stewart.
The cat was an eBay dealer.
Let's go ahead and move on to the next news story, Dave.
All right, my news story involves some of my favorite things in the world. It involves One Direction is a band, and one of its members...
That's his favorite thing is One Direction. That's what he's talking about.
There's Spawn's big dark secret.
Harry Styles is I guess, the member's name of the band. And he apparently got asked to sign some autographs, which it says he loves to accommodate the fans' requests, but he recently admitted that signing body parts wasn't his favorite thing to do, and that he felt really uncomfortable signing breasts, of all things. It says he signed a couple of boobs before, his exact words, which I felt was pretty funny. But he talks about, like, these people, like, they insist that, you know, they sign on the body, not on paper. Most people don't turn it down. It actually mentions a couple rock stars in here, and talks about a scene from a movie that's saying that that's pretty much not too far off on how these people do this. It says from breasts to shoulders, from butts to arms, there isn't a place that hasn't been asked. So I'm wondering how much further that can go. But, it says, it mentions that the fans don't, you know, wash the signatures off. A lot of them will rush to a tattoo parlor, which we've talked to before, and they actually get ink put over the person's signature, so they permanently have that signature on their body. So, right. I guess, you know, that's one way of those people. I see why they're doing it, but people that aren't getting a tattoo, I don't know. I don't really get it. But the story was pretty cool. That this, you know, I don't know how old this kid is, but he looks pretty young. You know, actually signing some grown woman's breast and kind of feeling a little awkward about it. That's pretty funny to me.
I think the moral to the story is if you women ever want your breast signed, blood spawns your man.
Yes.
It seems like we have a story about body parts getting signed every single week because they're always out there. It's a very popular thing, and we don't understand exactly why people want to do it. The tattoo thing makes sense, but we'll just leave it at that because we've discussed this pretty much every aspect of getting body parts signed.
That's what we need to do. We need to find somebody that's actually done this and talk to him on the show.
That'd be great, yeah. So if you actually have an autograph tattooed on your body, I think Steve does, doesn't he? Or actually, no, that's a portrait. So if you guys actually have an autograph, somebody signed your body and you got it tattooed on your body, we'd love to have you on the show or have a little segment with you and discuss the idea behind that and why you got it done. Let's go ahead and move on to a web deal of the week. And Stacy's got this for us.
All right. I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to bring you guys this web deal of the week. I'm just going to warn you guys, if you guys are interested in this, you better make a quick jaunt over to get this. They actually had this up earlier this past week for like one day, and they sold out of their initial allotment. But I saw they got a couple hundred more of these in. But this is an item at Newbury Comics. It is a signed CD booklet by the band Heart. And you can, they're doing pre-orders on that. It's available October 2nd for $12.99. And I think they have, their initial allotment was like 100 or 150, and they sold out of those in less than a day. But I checked back, and they've got, I think, 200 more up on their website now. So
yeah, so hurry up on that, guys. Heart stuff goes for quite a bit of money. I think over FYE, they're on there for like $50 for a signed assigned CD cover with the CD. So
I think that's the posters, Zane. It's
oh, is it a poster?
Yeah, it's a
poster. Okay. Well, they were actually up on Newbury for, I think, 52. There was
a poster. You get the signed poster.
Okay, that is a poster. Yep. But they go for quite a bit, and they go fast. So get over there and get that deal while you can. Let's move on to the AW Hot List. This is the segment where we talk about the people who are hot TTM-wise right now. Number three, we have Andrew Card. A ton of people got returns from Andrew this week. He was the... I forgot his official position, but he worked for Bush, and he actually told George Bush about the towers on 9/11. If you guys remember, George Bush
was the chief of staff.
Chief of staff, yeah. He actually leaned down and told President Bush about the towers getting hit. So if you guys remember, Bush was in the classroom. Card was the one that leaned over and told him that. And he writes some great inscriptions on his photos. So that's number three. Number two is Casey Kasem. If you guys don't know who that is, he did America's Top 40 for the longest time, and he was also the voice of Shaggy on the cartoon Scooby-Doo. So that's a very cool auto to get. I've seen.
And before you get to number one, this person is really hot, just to let you know.
Really hot?
I also agree.
So number one is Allison Brie. She goes in spurts, obviously. She saves up mail and signs all at once, but several people have got her back. And as we talked about, Chris's brother got back a Allison Brie sketch, which is pretty cool. So she's a great signer, but again, you have to wait a while until she catches up with her mail. So that's our top three, Andrew Card, Casey Kasem, and Allison Brie. On to the Fantasy League, and this should be the last week we'll mention the Fantasy League until the next season. But we had a poll up this week on what the humiliating act is going to be for me in Bloodspawn.
This is going to be awesome.
The winner... Well, let's go ahead with the results. Stacey, you can go ahead and tell the results. I don't want to.
All right, we will start off with the thing that finished fourth. That was the Drunk Hangout. That got 11% of the vote. Number two was the Cinnamon... Or the third place was Cinnamon Challenge at 18%. Number two was the Call Me Maybe Karaoke for 32%. So what's that leave for number one there, Zane?
Gangnam Style! Yeah, so we're going to have to do a Gangnam Style music video. I'll do a video. Bloodspine will do a video. And what we'll do is we'll post this on the Autograph Weekly YouTube channel. And we'll post both of our videos on there. I wish we could do it on a podcast, but obviously we do an audio podcast, so we can't show you guys a video with that. So we will tell you guys next week what the links are. We'll go ahead and make Bitly links so you guys can go straight to the video to watch me and Bloodspine do Gangnam Style dance videos, because that's our punishment.
It's gonna be awesome.
So yeah, I'm just happy it's not like the Cinnamon Challenge. I was really dreading that one, so thank you for not picking that one. But it should be interesting, guys. This episode of Autograph Weekly is brought to you by Rackers.com. That's RACKRS.com. Rackers produces custom trading cards for baseball, basketball, football, hockey, wrestling, and even movie cards. These sleek, matte finish trading cards have been created for the autograph collector. Whether you write TTM or graph IP, Rackers are a great upgrade from those boring index cards. For IPers, be prepared for any celebrity you may run into. Purchase a pack of Rackers cards and use the promo code AUTOGRAPHWEEKLY, one word, AUTOGRAPHWEEKLY, to receive a free sample pack with purchase. That's Rackers.com, RACKRS.com. All right, guys, let's move on to TTM and Graph of the Week. TTM of the Week. Last week, we had Chris Benoit with a Danny Glover TTM return going up against Top Shelf TTMs with a Vin Scully TTM return. Very close race, but the winner was Top Shelf TTMs with a Vin Scully TTM return, 58% to 42%. This week, we have Boston Sports Fan 91 with a Jeremy Renner TTM return, writestar.com, that's where he got that address. And he's going up against Ryan Patrick with a Christopher Plummer TTM return, guys. If you want to vote on that, just go to autographweekly.com. Poll is on the right. All right, Stacey, Graph of the Week.
All right, we had the battle was between Alex Joritz and Neri Lemus. Alex Joritz had a Martin Land IP, Neri Lemus with his Sleepwalkers cast IP. And this one was actually really close as well. and Alex Joratz with Martin Landau beat out Neary 54-46%. So
was that Martin Landau? Is that his name now? I didn't know he changed his name from Martin Landau.
Landau. Moving on to this week, we have Russell Lee with a Holland Oats IP against Ryan Michael Moberly, who had a Jimmy Carter in person. So once again, Russell Lee with Holland Oats in person and Ryan Michael Moberly with a Jimmy Carter in person. And the keyword this week is Maneater.
The keyword is Maneater. So guys, again, if you want to vote for Graph and TTM of the week, just go to our website, autographweekly.com. The poll is on the right. You can't miss it. And keep those submissions coming into us on Facebook. You guys do a great job of that now. Whenever you get an awesome autograph in, tell us about it. We want to know. We want to put you up in Graph and TTM of the Week. But we can't do that if you don't let us know about it. All right, let's go ahead and move on to the voice mailbox. We have three messages for today, and here's the first one.
How you doing, guys? It's Andy from the Boston area. The boss. You're the man. Hey, I just have a quick question for you guys. Is there a limit or a level of person that you would not want to send to, i.e. serial killers or people that are in prison for certain crimes that kind of are part of history? And if so, I mean, if you do send to them, I mean, possibly what could you say to them to have them sign something? Like, you can't tell them, hey, I'm a huge fan of yours, but... So I'm just kind of curious, how would you write to someone like that, and would you even? All right, thanks again. Great show, guys.
We've discussed this a little bit before. It is a tightrope walk whenever you're writing to people like that. First off, I want to say, yes, I would write to somebody who has committed horrible acts, just for the historical piece of history, you know. Not many people probably have that person's autograph. But writing a letter to them, that's trickier. And like I said, we have discussed this, but basically what you have to do is not say, I'm a huge fan of your work because, you know, they murdered somebody or did something horrible. And this is not for everybody, you know. Not every TTMer is going to want to write to people like this. This is basically for hardcore collectors who, you know, would be fine with having Hitler's autograph in their collection. It's a tough one. You basically have to find little positives, which is tough on murderers. But we've talked about Charles Manson before. If you write to him, say, hey, I really like your music, because he is a musician, and he was really into music back in the day. Say, I'm a big fan of your music, you do a great job with music. Don't discuss the murders. That may get him to respond. But with guys that don't have any positives, I've never written to anybody like that. But that's going to be a tough call. What do you guys think?
It's, like you said, I mean, we've talked about this before, but Charles Manson is one thing. Like, when you say, don't say, I'm a big fan of your work. Like O.J. Simpson, his work was football, okay? If you're a big fan of O.J. Simpson, Buffalo Bills, whatever, you admired what he did, whatever. That was his work, you know. I don't know. I mean, it's kind of tough. I mean, I would say I'm a big fan of what you did, you know, in your football career. Just kind of word it different.
TTM, you know, Central, whatever. Actually brought up a good thing in chat. Say, I'm studying criminology. Can you please sign something for me? That kind of gives you an out. You're lying to the person, but if they murdered somebody, then, you know, lying, a little white lie is not too bad. So that's a little interesting tidbit. That
the probability of actually getting something back writing to someone in prison is probably slim to none, just because, you know, sending index cards, yeah, that, you know,
you can't send them. Index cards.
Yeah, exactly.
We've talked about this before. If you're sending to somebody in federal prison, you only, basically the only thing you can get away with is sending a letter, and you can't send a self-addressed stamped envelope because they actually have to buy the stamps there. They can't accept any stamps through the mail. They can't accept any paper with, like, sharp edges, like an index card. Basically, you just write a letter to them, put it in the envelope, that's it. And if they respond, they respond. They have to buy the materials themselves in prison. That's the way federal prison works. So the chance of getting a response is slim to none, but every once in a while, you do get a crazy return from somebody that is infamous for what they've done.
Yeah, the other thing I've seen people, when they write to prisoners, is that they'll write if it's been made public or something, that the guy in prison's found God or found religion or something. Some people write that have something to do with that study the same kind of religion or something. And I've seen, there's been a few of those on Star Tiger with guys that have converted their whatever their faith is, and you'll see people that write to them and
yeah, that's that way. That's another way to attack the problem. So I think there's a few options there for you guys to write to those people. Again, it's tricky, but there are a couple loopholes you can use to get a good letter out to them. All right, let's go ahead and move on to the second question.
Hey, Zane and Stacy, how's it going? This is Sammy Feynman calling you from Okinawa, Japan. And I'm actually curious. I've been on your Write a Star page. I actually have a subscription there, and I want to start using some of the addresses. But my question is, when you write your letters, do you almost kind of apologize for writing to this person at their house? Or do you just write it like a normal letter and hope they send it back to you? Or do you kind of explain a little bit why you sent it to their house because you are such a big fan and you really want their autograph? But hey, really appreciate the podcast, guys. Keep up the great work. And if you ever get a chance, check out my show on YouTube. All right. Thanks. Bye.
Well, you didn't give us the link to your show. We would have plugged you. It's cool we're getting a call from Japan. This is a touchy subject because a lot of celebrities are against home address requests. But we interview people and we ask them about this, and this comes up. And, you know, half the people say it's an invasion of privacy. The other half, or maybe half of that half, says if you can find the address, you know, good for you. And the other, I guess, 25% say, I have no problem with it. And that's usually men that say that. So it's a tricky subject. It's not a popular thing to just, you know, write to somebody and fully neglect their rights as a private citizen. However, you know, some people, that's the only way to get an autograph. So that's why Write a Star is up there, and that's why we supply those addresses. It's not as intrusive as going to somebody's house and knocking on the door asking for an autograph. If they want to throw the TTM away, of course they have the right to do that. But bringing up in the letter, I mean, that would be kind of maybe a sympathetic thing where they're like, oh, well, this person's polite and they're apologizing for writing to the home address. Maybe that's the only way they could get a hold of me because my agency doesn't forward mail. So maybe they'll sign for you for that reason. But I don't mention it in my letter because usually the celebrities that we write to via private address either A, don't have an agency, maybe they're an author, and the only way they get mail is through a private address, and they're smaller celebrities, or B, they're large celebrities, very, very famous celebrities, Harrison Ford, for example, and none of that stuff gets forwarded to them, they just get preprints and stuff sent out on their behalf, so your only chance of getting that autograph is a private address, and they're used to that, because they are so high profile. They're used to getting mail at those home addresses, and most likely they have fail-safes in place for those. So I usually don't mention it in my letters. How about you guys?
Yeah, I could say that. I've never mentioned it in my letters, never really thought about doing it. I mean, I could see, like you said, I mean, how you could or why you wouldn't or whatever, but I don't know, I just have the kind of the same philosophy as Zane does on this. If they get the mail and they don't like it, they're just going to throw it away anyway. So
right, and it's very important to write a very, I guess, kind letter. You don't want to come off bad at all, especially if you're writing to a private address, because, you know, that is something that is on the borderline of, you know, ethics, I guess. But I think the information should be out there, and it's all public information. All the information on Write a Star is public information, come from different sources. So it's not like we're digging into something that is private. Technically, they're called private addresses, but they are out there for the public. They're just hard to find.
And the people that don't want that stuff out there, they go to the extreme of it's not going to be there. Zane won't find it. So.
Right, exactly. If they don't want it out there, I'm not going to find it. There's several people I cannot find their addresses because they've gone to certain lengths to hide that. Now, and if somebody contacts me or writes a letter, or somebody gets a letter back from somebody on Write a Star and says, hey, how'd you get this address? I don't want anybody writing to this address anymore. For example, Oliver Stone did this. He's like, why are people writing me at this address? He actually put deceased on the outside of one letter. I guess it's a joke. So I realized that he doesn't want mail at that address, so I took that address off Write a Star. So
I usually sign for a little bit, you know, until they start getting flooded with the mail, then they just stop completely.
Right, right.
You know, you get a couple in there, okay, how'd you get this? Then if it gets overwhelming, that's when they just shut it down.
They shut it down, right. So
I guess I gotta agree with you, Zane, too. Just like that, I don't want to seem creepy and then get like a letter back, but it's a restraining order letter, you know, or anything.
That hasn't happened yet that I know of, but you know, it's a tough line to walk, and we just urge people to be kind in their letters. Don't put anything remotely threatening or anything like that, because you are writing to a private address, and this person is doing you a favor. Even if you're writing to a celebrity at an agency address, you always should be kind in your letters. I mean, they're doing you a massive favor by sending you an autograph. They don't have to do that. They don't have an obligation to send you an autograph. We always talk about that. As obligated as we feel as autograph collectors, oh, man, this person didn't sign my stuff. They're a douchebag. We always are on the side of the celebrity. You know, they can rip up our TTM and wipe their butt with it if they want, and they have the right. So, all right, let's move on to the last voicemail.
Hey, guys. It's Alex, a.k.a. Dude Man, and here's my question for this week's show. Do the people at the post office know you by name, or like the autograph guy or the guy who collects autographs? That's just my question. I just thought that would be kind of funny. But all right. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Yeah, they do know me, of course. I send a ton of mail through the post office, and I get a ton of mail. Actually, they used to bring bags like the size of my body to my door, and it was so bad that they made me get a P.O. box because they didn't want to, like, the postman was complaining that the mail was too heavy for them to bring to the door. So they definitely know who I am, and that's a good thing and a bad thing. I think they take a little bit better care of my mail since they know who I am, but since they know who I am and what I do, I'm always, you know, got the conspiracy theory in my head that, okay, they know I collect autographs. They know that all the mail that I get in is probably an autograph, and that's worth money. And that drives me crazy, because you guys know that I'm a little paranoid on my mail because I've missed a lot of mail. A lot of mail has not got back to me. So on that note, I kind of like, I wish they didn't know what I did, but it's kind of hard for them not to know when I get the amount of mail. I actually had a fun story here. They had a new guy starting to work at the post office, and I was getting so many books in that he thought it was suspicious. So he actually filed a report on me thinking that I might be running a drug ring at my house. So he actually told some people about this, and they laughed, and they didn't tell him that they knew that I collected autographs. Like I said, he was new. So he was about to like start his investigation and everything into the stuff that I get in. I can only assume they're probably going to open up a package, or he was. And once it was getting kind of serious, they stopped him and said, hey, this guy collects autographs. He gets a lot in, and that's what's happening here. It's not some kind of drug ring. You can calm down. So that was a pretty funny, pretty scary story. Because that would have sucked to have a drug investigation on me. Don't have any drugs on me, but still, it would have sucked to have, you know, people
breaking
down
Bad
my neck.
With Zane Savage.
yeah, you know, it's they definitely know what I do, and they don't have a nickname. If they have a nickname for me, they haven't told it to me, so I'm assuming it's not a good one. They do have one.
Didn't know.
How about you guys?
I would say, just like TTM Central said in the chat, I wouldn't, the actual person that delivers the mail to your house, I wouldn't let him know what you do. Like me with my guy, he's aware that I get photos in. I've just never mentioned the word autograph. I just wanted to, like, hey, you know, could you not bend my stuff in half if they're 8x10 manila folders? Or,
and he says, nope.
Because, you know, I get a lot of photos and stuff. But, like, the people that, like, when I go in and mail my stuff off to Ashley and the post office, they all know. They all know me. They all literally, like, do you already have stamps on the SASIN side for my 8x10s and stuff? And, like, yeah, I already got it and everything. So they get to know you pretty well. But I would definitely say mention it to your post office guy who delivers stuff to you, so he'll maybe take a little bit better care, because we all know how well they handle our stuff. But I really wouldn't mention the exact what you're getting in the mail being autographs and stuff, because he might get a little interested.
Yeah, and actually I think the people at my post office actually watch some of my videos, so I sometimes have to watch what I say about the post office. Because let's say I make a video one day, it's like, god dang post office, they did this and this and this, and they suck. And they watch that video, and they're like, oh, whoops, this package just got lost for Zane Savage in the garbage.
Glad they didn't watch your video about the Randy Johnson ball.
Oh, dude, well, they deserve that. well, I hope they don't watch this now. Anyways, anybody else got any?
Go ahead, Jeremy.
All right, yeah, my mail carrier, it's an older lady. She knows I collect autographs because I did talk to her about it. So I think that helps you know, they'll be a little bit more careful with what you're getting. So, as of the post office, not really, because I really don't, excuse me, deal with the people there. I usually do use the automated machine there to put the postage on my.
Oh, you live in the fancy metropolitan area where you have the machine. Right. Exactly. We don't have a machine here, so it's all face to face.
So yeah, the older lady, she knows that I collect autographs. I've talked to her about it, so I don't think she's gonna stifle any of my mail. Hopefully not.
Ben?
Yeah, I get all my mail at the post office too. I have a PO box there, and they all know. I mean, the majority. There's a few people there that don't, but all the main people there all know. It's like same thing with Spawn. They see me coming up. They already know what I'm doing. Already know what they need to get out for postage. And she'll even the main lady does a lot of the sorting. She'll even give me crap about, you're going to like what you got in your mailbox today, or you're going to be disappointed because there's nothing in there. She'll mess with me before I even get to my P.O. box.
Your gigantic, unnecessary P.O. box. Anyways, Ben?
Mine's on my college campus, so I like go frequently because it's just convenient, and I'm on campus a lot. And they used to think, like, oh, what's this guy doing with photos and stuff like that? Like, they kept asking me, like, oh, why is it Do Not Bend and stuff like, is it Do Not Bend and stuff like that? But now that I've ordered, like, a bunch of books of stamps, I think they just put two and two together and just, like, oh, okay, he does collect something, or he does eBay stuff or something like that.
Right.
And they just recognize me as that guy who's a college student and comes there, like, every day.
It's Ben Martinez, that guy. It's Ben Martinez
again. All right, Stacy, hit us with the Facebook feedback.
All right, the first question coming from Russell Lee. He's asking our thoughts on the black versus blue Sharpie and why people will only sign in certain colors.
That has to do with their agencies telling them that certain colors can be copied over and forged easily. Some of that's bullcrap, some of it's legit. But agencies really kind of scare these people, especially on signing like index cards and stuff. That gets around to them, or maybe their attorneys that tell them. But this basically a safety thing, from what I understand.
Well, I think some people do the red Sharpie thing too, because the stuff doesn't sell as well. So if you're trying to sell the stuff, then you're not going to get as much as you would if you had a black or a blue Sharpie signature.
This is more of a question for IPers. I don't think we will be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, yeah. So I guess blue is obviously easier to see, and you can put it on more photos. Like, it goes over black more, obviously, but not good still. And it's obviously the preferred, I guess, ink by IPers, the ones at least I've done chats with, I guess. And black's still good. I mean, it stands out, but blue just pops more, I guess. So I prefer blue myself.
Have you ever had anybody turn you down because of the color of your Sharpie?
Yes, actually, some minor league baseball players. So that's why I always keep, like, a rainbow full of stuff. Like, oh, hey, you know, always go.
Yeah, and there's different, you know, reasons for that. But, you know, it's their prerogative. They don't have to sign anything. So, all right, next question.
All right, next one from Chris Vinoy. He has asked, is there any way to make low-quality pictures larger without them all being pixelated?
Nope.
Yeah, I don't think there's any way around this. I mean, depending on how much smaller it is than the 400 by 600, you could probably, I mean, you could do some of the border stuff, might help a little bit, but.
You know, actually, photo services offer, they upgrade, they increase the quality of your photos when they print them. So just because a photo looks crappy through Google Images, it may come out decent on a photo. I know ArtsCow does this, and I think Wink Flash does this. They basically upgrade the quality and fill in some pixels to make it look better. So any photo services you use probably use this tool automatically. So if you're getting crappy pictures actually through the services, the picture must be really, really crappy, and there's probably no saving it. So,
and a rule of thumb with this is any 4x6 photo should be 400 by 600 minimum.
Yeah, you should try to do that. I broke that rule several times, and they come out decent, but that's definitely what you should shoot for. So.
Yeah, I mean, the higher the pixels, the better the pictures are going to be. Right.
Next question.
Go ahead.
Next question.
Another one from Chris. He's asking, who among us has the largest collection?
Oh, probably Stacy. That's what I'm going with.
Probably number-wise, you're probably right, but I'd probably say overall quality is probably Zane.
I have some good quality stuff, but I think he's saying size. Like, he means there's different people and amount of autographs. I think that's definitely you. Bloodspawn probably be coming in second on that. Probably me third, and then Jeremy fourth. And Ben, I think you're probably last.
Aww. But does size really matter?
So I think that's... Does everybody agree with that, or think
there's
something different on that? Okay. Next question.
Stacy's got so much, he doesn't know where he even has some stuff.
I know, Stacy can't even keep track of his collection. So, and he's actually been written up in Beckett. Before this whole thing started on TTMing on YouTube, Stacy got written up in Beckett because of the amount of autographs he has. So I think he easily has the best amount.
All right, the last question coming from Chris. He's asking, if you could no longer collect autographs, what would you collect? And I know, Spawn, you can't answer women.
That's kind of creepy, actually. I collect women in my basement. I'm going to go with historical memorabilia, because that's part of the reason I collect signed books. There's a lot of really historically famous people that have books, and that's really cool to have something that they held in their hands. So along that same line, if I couldn't do autographs, I'd probably do pieces of like the Civil War and stuff like that, and, you know, use guns and just different pieces of history that were meaningful. I think that's definitely what I would go toward if I was not looking at autographs. How about you guys?
Mine would probably be something tech related, probably some kind of gadgets or maybe video game systems. I have quite a few of those anyway, so that might be something. That's something you could probably work on almost trying to complete as a
Jeremy?
Collection.
I'd probably either sports cards, which I used to collect when I was back in the day, or coins, because I do have some coins that my dad passed down to me. I got quite a collection, so I'd probably take bigger step towards that and try to research that more and get a coin collection started.
Dave or Ben?
I go with something, I guess, that has like a value and I can enjoy. So something like either stamps or like vinyl CDs, records, I guess. Something like you can always take out and look at or just enjoy and listen to,
And I've kind of dabbled in like every hobby there is. I have at least a few things in just about every hobby there is, but I'd say definitely sports cards or DVDs. I kind of have a DVD collection going on with horror movies and Blu-rays and stuff. I'm kind of addicted to that. So
yeah, DVDs is an interesting one. With everything going digital, a lot of people have terabytes and terabytes of stuff on hard drives now. But it's still cool to see those old DVD collections. I say old DVD and Blu-ray collections. I talk like they're 20 years old, but they'll see them on their wall. It's just an entire wall filled with DVDs and Blu-rays. That's pretty cool to manually go up there and pick what you want. So I can definitely see the appeal of that. All right, next question.
All right, this one's coming from Marvin Ford. He is asking, would you be upset if you ordered a photo from a celeb and the picture quality was low but the autograph was perfect?
Probably not. It depends how much I paid for the signature. If it was just like one of those cheap web deal of the week signatures, I'd be like, it's an autograph, got it for a good price. If I paid a lot for it, if it was somebody who was a big name and I paid, 50, 60 bucks for it, I'd probably be pretty mad about it.
I'd be steamed if the picture was good and the autograph is correct. I paid for it, but
yeah, you could always cut it out into a matte piece if worse came to worse. And if you complained about it, you might get a refund for it, and you'd have a free matte piece unless they asked for the autograph back. But
I'm kind of on the same page as saying, like, I think of kind of the price point of what you're getting. I think if you're spending probably, I'm going to say, anything over 40, 50 bucks, you're going to want a decent quality picture to go along with the signature. Under that price range, you probably honestly can't expect a whole lot.
Right. Especially, we have these web deals that are like $5 and $3 shipped. You're not going to expect some glossy 8x10. They're usually either promo photos or a smaller photo. If they're not great quality, tough titty. Next question.
All right, this one is coming from Nico Kirkman. He is asking, how did we get into autograph collecting, and what was your reaction to your first TTM?
For me, I was in junior high, and my father found a website called Star Archive, where you can actually find addresses for celebrities, and I was actually pitching. I was a baseball player at the time, so I wrote off to a ton of baseball players. My first TTM was Larry Jansen, and he actually wrote a little note back to me. And just the idea of contacting these people that you looked up to. Larry Jansen wrote a book on pitching. He pitched for the Mets back in the day. Or Giants, sorry. Giants back in the day. But just the idea of contacting people that you looked up to and actually them responding, it automatically hooked me. And I did it for at least 2 or 3 years after that. Then I stopped when I was in high school. Obviously did high school stuff. And I got back into the hobby a couple years ago. So, yeah, it's definitely one of those things that once you realize that people that you look up to are actually people and they can respond to you via TTM, it's one of those things that just hooks you in, and I love it. So
once you start, you can't stop.
Exactly. It's an addiction.
It is. Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat. You know, growing up, my brother used to send TTMs out, and a couple of my friends used to do it, and that's how I kind of got picked up on it. I can't remember who the first one I sent to and what I got back, but, you know, it's anytime you get something back from someone that you write to, it's, you know, it's always a good feeling.
Definitely.
You know, even now, you know, I still get stuff back now. It's just like, you know, it's like Christmas.
It's like Christmas in your mailbox every day.
That's right.
Stealing my line.
Yes, at mine, like I've talked about before, was back in grade school with the school project. As far as my reaction, I honestly don't remember. In my case, that's been so long ago. That's like going on 3 decades ago.
Yeah, if you guys don't know, Stacy is 67 years old.
I have my 40-year high school reunion coming up pretty soon.
He's
now
the,
Stacy's 20.
Are you? Wait, is Bloodspawn, are you older than Stacy or younger?
No,
younger.
32.
Okay. So Stacy is by far the oldest here.
Until and I'm the youngest.
Until we get somebody like Troy or somebody on here where they can be older.
All right, old man Jenkins. Let's.
Stacy's the grandfather of autograph.
Dave, Ben, you got anything, Dad?
Mine was my father. He was into IPing, and he took me along once the time was right to stuff like signings where you had to pay for stuff. And stuff like that. And then my mom just took me to political events, and I just piggybacked off my father too, and just went from there.
You know, I think it's an important little point. I think about half of the community got started because it was something they did with their family or their parents, and that's a really cool aspect to it. I think if you have a son or a daughter, and they're real big fans of somebody, that is a really cool hobby to write off to these people that they really enjoy and build their collection. Or even, I know several people collect for their children, so whenever they pass away, they can pass their collection down to their children. So it's really cool to make that connection with your family. I think that's a big part of collecting. I think that's a big reason a lot of us got into this hobby to start out with.
For me, I just remember I had a few autographs, and I think I had purchased them and maybe a couple in persons, and I just like thought like there's got to be like a way to do this that's cheaper. So I started like searching around on the internet with dial up at the time, and found Star Archive, and it was like the greatest thing ever, and that's what got me. And I've sent, you know, a couple out, and I started getting them in, and that was it. You know, just like anybody, when you start sending a couple out, you get those first couple in, you're like, man, this is awesome. I just got to get more out and more out. And I mean, it's been like 10 years plus for me, and I mean, keep
doing it. It's an addiction, man. I'm telling you, it's an addiction.
Yeah.
Star Archive actually brought a lot of us into the hobby, which is interesting. You know, that's we plug them as much as we can on here because they're now Star Tiger, but they've been in the business of addresses for, you know, what, 10 years almost. I think 9 years, actually. But they've been around forever, and they know what they're doing over there. So that's why we try to plug them so much. It is such a great tool for autograph collectors. All right, next question.
All right, this is coming from Eric. I don't know. Do you know how you say his last name, Zane?
Arbo.
How many TTMs do you send or receive in a week?
Probably send off If I'm lucky, 15. That number's gone down in the past few months. But if I get back, I'll be lucky if I get back 5 or 6 in a week. And that, like I said, that is down. I used to be a super TTM collector. But money-wise, I'm spending more money on auctions lately just because I'm really enjoying getting the historical autographs in and the guys who are now passed on. And obviously, you can't get people that have passed on TTM. So if you guys watch my videos, I get a lot of signed books and stuff from historical figures. That's really my focus. But I did just get a stack of 300 photos from ArtsCow. So I will be getting a lot of TTMs in soon. So that number will go up. But I'm guessing that's the median range for me.
Yeah, with me, I would say probably now is probably 15 to 20 a week as of late. I've been sending out some magazines and some other stuff, so that stuff gets a little more expensive on the postage end. So I haven't sent out quite as many as I was at one time, but still in that range. And as far as getting stuff in, it's been in the 5 to 10 items a week range because, like I said, I haven't sent out a ton of stuff as of late.
Yeah, but you probably got like 1,000 still pending out there.
there's still quite a few, but
yeah, I'm in the same boat as you. I send out about 15 to 20 a week. At least I try to. Usually when I send the baseballs out, it costs more, about $4 each way. $4 total. $2.20 there, $2.20 back, so $4.40. But that cuts into my stamps, but and getting back, I mean, it's been slow lately, probably 5 at the most the last couple weeks, but I just keep sending out. They'll come back eventually.
Dave, Ben,
this is going to change depending on like what you got going on, stuff like that, or you know, in your personal life or your list of people you want to write to. You know, sometimes you know through Star Tiger updates you get a bunch, and sometimes it's you know slow, so it changes. I don't send out every week. I send in like groups. But looking on Star Tiger, my average, I usually send between 100 and 200 a month, which would be right around where everyone else is, about 25 or so a week. But sometimes if you're doing a project just starts up, you're going to send a bunch out, things like that. So
because you're excited about that project. Whenever you start a project, you're always like, gung-ho, let's get this done. And then like a month into it, you're like, oh, crap, I got to send stuff out for that project. Yeah. Ben?
I'm like Spawn, where I just do it in bunches. I try to do 50 a month. Mine's just cut down because I'm still a student and working, but I still do it. I'm kind of like that person that like has to do something and get it done like all in one big batch, otherwise I go crazy.
Right.
So that's how I guess I do my TTMs.
All right, next question.
Zane, Scott and Scout 85 in the chat wants to know how many eBays you get in a week.
Right now I'm buying a lot. Probably 10 right now, which is quite a bit if you think about it. But some of those are actually just to flip to pay for my TTM habit and my other my auction habit. So, but I'm usually around 10. So, next question.
Alrighty. Next one coming from Timothy Swift. His question is, we all hear about the mantra, do your research, but could you go further into detail about that?
You know, do your own research basically means whenever you are getting into the hobby, especially new people, some people tend to be lazy when they send TTMs, and they'll just find somebody that got, let's say I got Wilford Brimley in. Somebody might see that who has no idea who Wilford Brimley is and write a letter to Wilford Brimley without knowing who he is, without looking him up and learning about him or watching a film that he was in, and write a horrible letter, and you may not get anything back. You may get a bad response. You may turn that person off of TTMs altogether because of the horrible letter. We've talked to celebrities and interviewed celebrities on here, and they talk about, you know, you can tell when somebody's just writing a letter to get an autograph. So when we say do your research, that means make sure you know who you're writing to, what they were in, enough about them to actually, you know, care in the letter. And that takes time, you know. The TTMing is not something you do if you don't have any time whatsoever.
And we kind of cover this in an upcoming segment here, don't we?
Yeah, we do. We talk about this a little bit in the next segment. Now, well, it's more about projects, but yeah, I think it's important to really know what you're doing and not just kind of free ball it, if you will, on TTMs, because it hurts you on your return rate and it hurts the hobby in general because it turns people off of signing. So when we say do your research, that's what that means. Don't go in ignorant, if you will. Obviously, everybody has a right to collect how they want to, but I think it's important to have some knowledge about who you're writing to.
Well said.
Thank you.
All right, we'll move on to the next question. This is coming from Kevin Wallace, and this is pretty much for Zane as well. In your experience with purchasing signed books that weren't really signed, when they're relisted for sale, do they still advertise them as being signed?
Usually what happens, when I buy signed books, I try to spend, you know, $9 or less. That includes shipping. So I don't like to spend anything over that unless I know that something's going to be an awesome piece. But whenever they come to me and they're either forged or they're not signed or it's got a facsimile signature in it, I email the person. Usually what happens is they say, well, since that's the case, I don't want that book back. I don't want it. I mean, it's useless to me now. So you can keep the book and I'll refund your money. So that book usually does not go back to the person. It just gets thrown in my stack of books that are useless to me in the corner. I mean, I put the ones that I want to read in my my personal reading library, but I leave the ones that I have no interest in reading just in a big old stack, and that's where they stay. So no, usually the person does not relist the book. And if they do, if I do have to send it back, I usually don't follow up on what happens to the book. That's usually the person's prerogative and what they want to do. Obviously, there are horrible people out there that if they know they have a forged signature or a something that's not legit, they will go ahead and sell it as real. And actually, I really want to do a segment, I'm not sure if I'm going to do it on here or on YouTube, about people on eBay, known eBayers that sell forged autographs, just to get the message out there not to buy from these people and maybe hopefully shut down their eBay accounts, because they're really ruining the signed book market. That's what I'm really worried about. But anyways, that's kind of off subject. So I really don't have any experience in catching up with what happens to the books I return, because first off, there's not many books that are returned. Second off, it's their own business. So next question.
All right, the last question for this week is coming from AJ Kaiser. He is asking, what, in your opinion, is the hardest professional sports game to IP graph?
I don't IP,
NBA,
so I think
NHL, MLB, and NFL.
Yeah, we don't IP except for Ben, so I think Ben's got this one.
I guess in terms of, like, hardest to get, I, just in my experience, I've only done NBA and MLB. I don't know, have any clue about NFL, but I would say MLB. Actually, no, NBA. NBA. Some of them, those guys have giant egos, you know?
Let's go ahead and move on to Just the Tip. I'm taking this one over this week. The tip for this week, we're basically talking about how to find people to write to for projects. So a lot of people want new projects to do. Maybe your old projects are stale. And you want to know, you know, I want to get something exciting, a reason to get back into the TTM hobby and get a bunch of stuff sent out that I'm going to be excited about. And that usually includes a project. And surprisingly, projects are usually what brings people back into the hobby. There's a couple ways you can run into a project. One is just randomly. You could be watching a video and see an autograph that somebody got in that's really cool and really unique, and you just have an idea, clicks in your head. Oh, that'd be a really cool project. That's a unique person. I want to find people that do around the same thing as that person. And you got to figure out what you obviously want the autograph on and how you want to work the project. But that's how I run into a lot of my projects. I'll see something that somebody got in, and it'll just spark from there. I know the Hit the Deck project that we're doing with AW Extra, that actually sparked out of my George R.R. Martin signed playing cards. Stacy saw that and was like, hey, that'd be a cool project for us to do after Geek Week. So that's usually how the projects are sparked. But there is another way to do it. If you're looking for a specific project and you're like, okay, I need to find a project, and I need to find one now. So it's not from some random thought or some random video that you see. You actually go out and search for a project. One way to do that is go to your address website, whatever it is, fanmail.biz, write a star, Star Tiger, and they'll have the updates, recent updates. Go through those recent updates and actually read what the people do. I think fan mail, you may have to Google the person to see what they do. But, you know, if somebody was a World War II veteran or if somebody is a motivational speaker, just go down the list and look at all those descriptions. And what you'll run into is you'll find something interesting that somebody does or unique, and then you just build off that. So I actually made a video on our YouTube channel, a Just the Tip video. We're going to try to do this every week, where we kind of explain what we're talking about in Just the Tip in video format, because it's a lot easier to show you what we're talking about than explain it over audio. But I actually found a listing for Jim Davis, who is the creator and cartoonist for Garfield. So what I did was like, okay, he's a cartoonist. It'd be very cool to do a project on cartoonists. So, from there, what you need to do is go to Google and try to find a list of cartoonists. Usually, Wikipedia has pretty good lists. If you're doing a sports team, like a best of or top, it's usually going to be on some kind of news website where they do a special thing on the top 100 Cubs of all time on WGN.com or something like that. So you find those lists, you go down the list, and copy and paste those names that you find. First, you see if they're alive. But if they are alive, you copy and paste that into your address database, whether it be, like I said, Fan Mail, Write a Star, or Star Tiger. So you copy and paste that in, see if that person signs, write them down if they do, and if they don't, go to the next one. See how many people sign in that list to see if it's feasible. That's the main thing. You don't want to do a project that's not feasible. You know, if I do a cartoonist project and there's only three people that sign that are famous cartoonists, that's a pretty useless project. And you also want to see if the addresses are already tested and out there, because it's going to take extra time to find those addresses on your own. And it may be time you don't have. But the number one thing when it comes to starting a new project is you need to be excited about it. Projects fall by the wayside all the time, and that's usually due to you're not excited about it anymore. Another aspect of that is if it's not able to be finished, if it doesn't have that definite end, you're most likely to give it up in the long run because it's not that motivation to get to a certain goal. So let's say you do a project and there's 50 people in this project you need autographs from. You have that finite number to work towards. And once you get to the home stretch of, you know, 10 or 15 people, you're like, all right, I'm going to do this. I'm going to get this done. And it really motivates you to get that project done. And then you have that really good feeling after you're done. It's like, yes, I got all these people. Well, the My America project is a perfect example. 150 people in that project. I'm getting to the tail end of it now. I'm almost on 100 autographs, so I'm almost on the last third of the autographs in the book, which is exciting for me, and it's motivated me to go out and actually get those signatures. So I think that is a big part of it, too, to have a finite end to a project and be excited about it, because that's the whole point of this hobby, is to have fun, and if you're excited about a project, you're really going to take the time and try to finish it. So again, go to YouTube and watch my video. I did a whole video about it, showing you guys how to do this and kind of gave you some tips. But that's pretty much all I have to say about it. You guys got anything to add on projects?
I agree. I've done the projects where we had the open ended project, kind of like we did with Project Goat with me and Jeremy and David. But I think having the finish line for a project is really key. Like Zane says, it motivates you. Once you get to that point where you're to the halfway point, and then you're to the three-fourths of the way done, it's just great motivation to get that done.
Right, and well, those unlimited projects, let's say the Baseball Hall of Fame, that's one that a lot of people do, and that's one that you're never going to finish because some of those guys only have one or two signatures out there, and you're probably not going to get those signatures because they're worth thousands upon thousands upon thousands of dollars, and it's just not realistic. So you definitely want one that has an ending or a goal. I'm not saying don't do those projects that are unlimited because sometimes they're fun to do, but don't make that your main project, you know. Make a main project one with an end.
Don't have too many projects going at once. If you have like 3-4 projects going at once, you're gonna
that's the problem with us because we do you know, entertainment.
That's a Zane Savage problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my problem. See, we do entertainment along with TTMing, so I feel like I need a lot of projects to help entertain and motivate people to do stuff and give people ideas, you know, share ideas with you guys. By the way, I'm not doing the cartoonist project, so you don't have to worry about copying off me. If you ever want to do the same project as me, by the way, I get emails all the time. It's like, hey, I'm kind of thinking of doing the same project as you. By all means, do it. You don't have to get my permission. It's, you know, it's not a unique thing. It's just an idea.
And it's good, though, that other people do it, because if they get something that you don't have, you can at least trade for it.
You can always trade for it, and that's another good point. If you're doing a project, it's always nice to have a buddy that's doing the exact same project, because you can trade off each other. I know I do this for the Top Fan Favorites set a little bit. Jeremy does it for the My America project. So that's always a good factor to have somebody that's doing the exact same thing that you can trade off of.
I wish Zane would do it for the Geekery project.
No, yeah, I'm kind of stingy on my Geek of Week stuff. Let's go ahead and move on to the next segment, which is the weekly giveaway, where we give away an autograph every week. Last week, we gave away a John Finch autograph, and the winner was, drum roll please, Chris LeMay. Congratulations, Chris LeMay. You have won the John Finch autograph. PM us over at facebook.com/autographweekly or email us at gmail.com, autographweekly@gmail.com, and we will get that out to you ASAP. This week, we're giving away what, Stacy?
A Maria Cannella certified bench warmer trading card.
Nice. So, guys, to win that, all you have to do is go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/autographweekly, and post the keyword that was hidden in today's show. You're automatically entered if you do that, so go get on that right now. Now we have a new segment, guys, and here's our little intro. Won't you please sign on the dotted line? Won't you please sign on the dotted line? Hey, 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 give me your autograph. Hey, 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 give me your autograph. Won't you please sign on the dotted line? And you're probably wondering, what the heck is this project? Well, this is a way for you guys to kind of get in our podcast. We have ways, obviously, for you guys to be an AW extra, but we wanted a way for you guys to actually have a voice in the podcast and kind of promote your stuff. So what this is going to be, it's going to be a page on our website, autographweekly.com. And what you'll do is you'll submit a photo, or preferably a scan, of your autograph, and we're going to post all the signatures of our listeners and viewers up on this wall, this giant wall on our website. So once you do that, you can give us a website to plug, your YouTube channel, whatever you work on, and we'll actually bring it up in this segment of the podcast. We'll probably get this page up, I'm saying, in the middle of this week, so that's when you guys need to start sending in the stuff. You'll see a page appear on autographweekly.com that'll explain how to do it, and it'll also be, I think we'll go ahead and put our signatures on there first to show you kind of what we're talking about. But whenever you send the signature, make sure to send a website or something to plug, or if you just want us to say your name, we'll do that. So this is how it's going to go. Whenever we do this segment every week, we'll say, well, we got a signature from Bob Smith. He signed the wall, and he can be found at youtube.com/Bob Smith. And we'll move on to the next person. So this is kind of a way for you guys to get in the show and plug stuff you do, especially if it's autograph-related. That's what we're looking for. So look forward to that segment every single week, as long as we have people sign the wall, that is. All right, we did sadly have two deaths this week. Steve Sable, am I saying it right?
Sable.
And also John Engel passed away. So if you guys have any autographs from them, please post them on our Facebook wall as a memoriam to them. Also, guys, big show next week. We can't stress this enough. This will be our one-year anniversary next week. Exactly. It's weird how it falls on the exact same day we started the show. So the big one-year anniversary, we want you guys to actually leave voicemails and comments telling us your favorite moment of the show. So just call that voicemail number. The voicemail number is on our website. We won't pick up, we promise. It's all voicemail, and you can re-record your messages if you mess up so you don't sound like an idiot on the show. But tell us what your favorite moments over the past year have been on Autograph Weekly, or just give us a congratulations or a thank you or something like that. Or tell us how much you hate us. We'll accept those too. So that will all be on next week's show, the one-year anniversary. We've got some cool stuff lined up, so look forward to that. Also, guys, check out autographweekly.com. That's where everything comes together. We got the polls, got the news, got the podcast, got the projects. Everything's there at autographweekly.com. Again, can't stress this enough. We are starting a podcast network. We're still looking for some folks to host podcasts, guys. So if you want to have your very own podcast, please contact us. We're looking for different areas like coin collecting. If you collect anything other than autographs and you're pretty knowledgeable in it and you're pretty well versed on the radio, or you use your radio voice, please contact us. We're interested in working with you. Also, writeastar.com is my private address website. Identify your autographs on Facebook. That is a Facebook page that you can actually join. Post autographs that you have that you really don't know who they are. We'll try to figure it out as a community. I'm pretty good at figuring out that stuff. We've actually figured out quite a few lately. So, again, that's identify your autographs. Just search for that on Facebook. And
All right, for me, go to my website, stacyschaefer.com. Find me on Facebook, do a search for That Autograph Dude, and also on YouTube, watch the Autograph Report.
And for me, you can check me out at my website, theautographboss.com. I do post all my daily successes up there, as well as Project Hit the Deck, which me and Zane and Stacy are competing in right now.
Yeah, guys,
so
definitely
go to autographboss.com.
I'm going to go cut you off. Yeah, check that out, guys. Theautographboss.com. Boss has spent a great amount of time making this look like an awesome project, and he actually has a whole set of cards on this one page. So you scroll down the page, and actually, as we get the cards in, the cards flip over, and you can see the autographs that we got. Very cool setup. So go check that out, theautographboss.com.
And I got a slideshow on there, too.
He's also got a slideshow. Fancy spancy.
Fancy.
Dave?
For me, you can find me on YouTube. Just go up in the search box and put Bloodspawn 80 in there. You can find me on there. I'm doing a big, huge raffle, giving away almost 300 autographs. So check that video out and get in on that. I'm over 150 tickets sold already. So almost to my goal, just a little bit more. And that's it for me.
That's YouTube.com/Bloodspawn80 if you're interested in hitting up his channel. All right, Ben?
All right, I got my YouTube, which is Ben Martinez, and my website, which is bmartsautographs.weebly.com, and then I've actually started a new blog, bencmartinez.wordpress.com. And that's just going to be me blogging about autographs in general, and it's eventually going to become my website, but I can't switch anything over just due to some restraints I have until December, so I will do that eventually, but go check it out.
All right. Also, guys, check us out on Twitter at twitter.com/autographweekly. We try to update you guys when we go live, remind you about the giveaways, and let you know when the podcast is up and live. Also, check out facebook.com/autographweekly. We have a ton of information on there. I post my daily successes on there, all the autographs I purchase, all the TTMs I get in. I post all that stuff on the Facebook page for you guys to enjoy. Also, guys, I can't stress this enough. I'm not going to freak out this week and go check out iTunes. I'm really asking you guys. We have a lot of new viewers, listeners. If you guys can, please go to iTunes and rate and comment. And I always, you know, do this in a funny voice, but I'm being serious this time. We really appreciate it if you guys went over to iTunes and gave us a rating and a comment, because we haven't had one in a while. And we have all these new listeners. I'm like, why aren't we getting these in? I think it's because I'm being, you know, silly at the end of the podcast and going, for the love of God. So, with all seriousness, please go to iTunes and rate and comment if you haven't. That's one way you can really help out the podcast, and it only takes a couple seconds of your time. All right, guys, I'm Zane Savage.
And I'm Stacia Schaefer. Stay classy and keep graphing.
And you take care, all of you autograph addicts.
Thank you for listening to Autograph Weekly. Visit autographweekly.com for news, tips, and contact information.